Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. I want to welcome you to another edition of the Miracle Man Show here on Monday, May the 3rd of 2021. And I am your host this evening, the Miracle Man. I do apologize for the late start. We just had a little technical difficulties that we have now resolved. And so we're on. And I'm glad to have you with us. I'm extremely grateful to have you with us. Wherever you're listening, however you're tuning in, however you heard about us, we're just so grateful that you tuned in tonight. Very grateful. And it's not just something I say. I truly, honestly, wholeheartedly mean it. We got a busy night tonight, a lot of things I want to get to. And I got some things, some developments in the last few days as a result involves reopening and what have you. Also, we have, of course, the Word of God to get to. We have the draft to talk about a little bit. So, but that specifically the NFL draft. Because your listeners, some of you folks may be saying, what draft? Yes, I'm talking about the NFL draft, which we will talk about at the end in our sports coverage. Just so you know, kind of, what's going on. Like I said, we have a lot to get to. And, of course, we're also going to worship a bit, as we always do on this program. And when I was doing my apology for starting late tonight, I meant to apologize for No Show Wednesday night, which I do sincerely apologize for. My brother was in town, and so just tuned out. It just so happened to be and everything. So I was out of the area. We did not have a show Wednesday night. I apologize for that. Of course, things happen. But we're back on the air. Shelly,
I moved somewhere because obviously I'm in a mess.
Can you, Shelly, would you mind doing the wipe down? Nothing. Nope. Not now, because we're on. Because I even said, you know, we're on. And what? Sorry, listeners, I was just getting something figured out. But anyhow, like I said, we have a lot of things to get to tonight. First thing I want to mention is those of you who are in many states in America, I'm not going to say every state because I'm sure there's still certain cities and towns and townships in certain states possibly where you cannot worship freely. You know, and go to church and have church and do on Sunday like what we do, which is have church. Now, in my area, here in Michigan, we've been free to go to church for 11 months. So in June, it'll be a full year. And wherever you are in America, if your churches are open, don't take it for granted, please. Do not take it for granted. Do not take it for granted. In Ontario, Canada, the Canadian province that would be basically to the east of where I sit right now in Michigan, the east/north/, in certain parts of it, south. Well, just this past week, there was a church, mind you, a church had, not only were the doors locked, but the mayor of this certain city had a fence put up. Why? To keep people from going to this church. To keep people from entering this church. I was told about this yesterday. I saw it on Breitbart News. And those of you who listen to my show and then you get to go to church on Sunday and have a midweek service. Do you want to, if you're like mine where you have a midweek service, obviously not every church does. Don't take getting to go to the house of the Lord, getting to meet, for granted. The Bible says, in fact, do not forsake yourselves the gathering together. Even the more so as you see the day approaching. Even the more so. And so, through this whole thing, part of the agenda of this whole thing, this whole lockdown, shutdown, be quiet and do what I say, this part of this whole thing was meant to be an attack upon the church. For those of you who think it wasn't, hopefully now you've learned a lesson. Because this is in Canada that I was talking about. This was in Canada. And, of course, in other places, but in Canada, mind you, Canada. And they can't get together. So obviously, you need to keep Canada in your prayers. And of course, we have to continue to curse this virus. And of course, remember, no fear here. It's not good to live in fear. Living in fear is, yes, you can do wisdom in that. Be wise. Be mindful. But don't live in fear. because here's the thing, listeners. If you are fearful, you are faithless. Fear and faith cannot mix together. They don't mix well together at all. So that's why I thank the Lord all the time for people like Dr. Barclay, who wants to see the whole world, every church, who wants to see the countries open back up. For Dr. Rodney Howard Brown, who takes the stand on the field every night. He doesn't preach every night, but every night the stand is happening. Sunday through Friday at the church live, and then Sunday night as a rerun of Sunday morning. But the stand there is taking place, making a stand for those countries and places that can't. And speaking of taking a stand and openings, I got not one but two shout out to give from the last few days. First of all, I want to give a shout out to Governor Bill Lee of Tennessee. Governor Bill Lee of Tennessee has just announced as of Wednesday that all county masks, city mask mandates. There are six counties in Tennessee that are separate from the state health department and can and set their different rules and what have you. All six of those counties, if they have a mask mandate, it's required that it be repealed or done away with by Memorial Day. Now, Hamilton County, where Chattanooga is, and also Knox County, where Knoxville is, had announced last month that they would not be extending their mask order into May. And so Hamilton and Knox counties, no more mask mandate. By the way, that includes the cities. So there's four counties left that are still allowed to have them that may or may not still have them, including Nashville. But by Memorial Day, those are required. It's required that those no longer be in effect. Their governor basically said, the time for COVID restrictions in the state is over. There can be restrictions, right? Have it done by the business. You want to do what you feel like you need to do. You keep your customers safe. This is me. Then you can do that. But as far as at the government level, he said, we're done. And Florida, just today, all the local mask mandates that they had, like Tampa. Tampa had a mask mandate. Remember, Shelley, they had one? Not no more. The governor just repealed them. He just repealed them, and now it's up to the business. Obviously, there'll be corporations who will still require masks and what have you. But basically, he said, "We're not issuing restrictions anymore." He also made it so that in the future, counties or cities want to put such mandates in effect, they have to show demonstrable demanding need, like they need to literally demand and explain why in order to be allowed to do such stuff again. And so thank you to these two very good governors of Tennessee and Florida. That's very good to see. Michigan the other day, if you didn't see, went the other way. They are doing the opening based on vaccines, which is a not good way to do it, because there are a lot of people who will not take it. A lot of young people don't want to take it. Also, there's a lot of course, just straight up conservatives who don't want to take it. Some people who have different conditions who react very badly to vaccines, they almost can't take it. And so tying the opening to vaccines is not a good strategy. Enough on that. Just to say, you know, you got to pray, curse the virus. And it really makes a difference who your leaders are. It really makes a difference. And so, it's just, you know, God, the way I see it, God's doing some things. And even here, you're seeing case numbers continue to drop, which is very good to see. Whatever the plan of the enemy is, of course, you have to pray that God just gets in the way of the enemy. That whatever the enemy has planned, whatever they're doing behind closed doors, gets brought to naught in the name of Jesus. Yes. Amen. And so, how many of you know Mother's Day is coming up this week, this coming Sunday? Yes, Mother's Day is coming up, and your mother is, of course, one of the most important people of your life. If she's not, she needs to be. Because your mother brought you into the world. Your mother is the one who brought you into the world. And I think of my mother, who raised for years. She raised me and my brother as a single mother for about 12 years. Me and my brother were the sons of a single mom. At times, my mom didn't know what to do. All those surgeries I needed, all this other stuff we went through, between me and Ray and my mom and everything. I thank the Lord that my mom was a great spiritual mother. Yeah, she was a mother, but she was very spiritual. She made sure she put God first. She even does to this day, but I mean, as she was raising me and my brother. She saw to it that church was a priority. And of course, for her, for 12 years, it was different because she, of course, we didn't have a father in the home at that point. So that meant that she had to do it all. She had to be the leader of that house. And thank the Lord for her. And of course, over the years, I have a lot of good memories of my mother, both as a child and as an adult. The times that we were on an airplane flying to Chattanooga, Tennessee, she was sitting there comforting me. First, I was nervous, possibly nervous of the flight. I'm sure I was the first flight. Shelley, weren't you nervous the first time you flew on an airplane?
Oh, yeah.
Another time, I was, like my nerves, like I was in pain. The time that I had to be basically emergency flown straight back to Chattanooga a couple of days after I had gotten back from down there. And she was there to comfort me, love on me, you know, reminded me that Jesus Christ is in my heart, and just think of all the different times that I'd be going through stuff. One of the things she would always tell me, I love you. Even when I was being bad and got myself in trouble. I knew I felt bad about what I had done. And she said, you know what? I love you. She didn't say, oh, by the way, you lost this for this amount of days. And I don't know whether I love you or not. No. But also think of all the different times. Of course, over the years, we've had a lot of fun memories together. Even as an adult now, even as we've been on vacations to various places and what have you with my dad, another thing I have to say about her, I'm so glad she didn't give up on me. I remember when I was very young, in that hospital room. No, I don't remember that, no. But I know I was told many years later. My mom was told, we have a shot. We can just give Rivers a shot, put him to sleep. He won't suffer anymore. Or you can choose to let him live. We don't know what all he'll go through. he probably won't live past 12. Thing was a lie. I'm 31 now. But she chose life for me. And she also prayed a very powerful prayer. Heal him or take him home. Those were the two choices. Either heal him or take him home. And I haven't went home to heaven yet. So pretty obvious the choice that was made, that God obviously wants to use me here on earth. So he's kept me alive. And I thank Jesus for that. And so I want to encourage you, if you can, please get a hold of your mother for Mother's Day. In more states than not, the restaurants are open. Maybe you want to have lunch or dinner or brunch or whatever at her house. Maybe you go. Maybe she comes to your house. Maybe you guys go somewhere or whatever. But if you can, make it a point to be together. And to I'm going to make it a list. Some people might not like me for this, but hug your mother. Hug your mother. Now, me and my mom tease about it and say we're socially distancing because we're usually like in the car or whatever, or in a house or whatever, and there's no one else around. So we are socially distancing because no one else is around, but really we're not, because we're hugging each other. We're cuddling. Oh, man. Yes. But please, let your mother know you love her and you care. And the next couple nights, I'm going to continue to talk about mothers. For tonight, though, I have other things to get to. Also, speaking of Jesus doing stuff for me and healings and heal him or take him home, we have the book, Rivers of Miracles. I want to encourage you to please go online to that website, riversofmiracles.com. That's rivers, R-I-V-E-R-S, as in Rivers of Living Water, riversofmiracles.com. To find out information about the book, how you can get your hands on it, and we'll believe in God to sell as many of those books as possible. Yes, we are. And we know that God's going to do it. We know that God's going to do it. Amen. Yes. Hallelujah. Also, I want to remind you to please, if the show has been any blessing to you at all, so to sow a seed into the Miracle Man program. You can make the seed as small or as large as you want. By the way, I want to thank the three listeners that sowed seeds into this program lately. I greatly appreciate that. And I pray for all of you that the Lord would bless you far above and beyond. And you can go to PayPal, and then you'll type in Rivers Shukla. Again, that's Rivers, R-Y-V-E-R-S. And the last name is Shukla, S-H-U-K-L-A. There's a space between Rivers and Shukla, and both Rivers and Shukla are, the first letter of both of those is capitalized. And I figure, just so you know that. And I want to make sure that if you're sowing seed, that the seed goes to the right place. Because I don't want you to think that, oh, River Shukla is just all one word, or what have you. That way the seed gets to where it needs to be, like where you intend for it to go. Amen. And the verse I want to stand for is, give, and it shall be given unto you. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give unto your bosom. Amen. Amen. Tell me, whose report do you believe? We shall believe the report of the Lord. Whose report do you believe? We shall believe the report of the Lord. Whose report do you believe? We shall believe the report of the Lord. Whose report do you believe? We shall believe the report of the Lord. His report says, I am healed. His report says, I am filled. His report says, I am free. His report says, victory. Oh. Whose report do you believe? We shall believe the report of the Lord. Whose report do you believe? We shall believe the report of the Lord. Tell me, whose report do you believe? We shall believe the report of the Lord. Whose report do you believe? We shall believe the report of the Lord. His report says, I am filled. His report says, I am filled. His report says, I am free. His report says victory. Oh, I can't stop praising his name. I just can't stop praising his name. I just can't stop praising his name, Jesus. I can't stop praising his name. I just can't stop praising his name, I just can't stop praising his name, Jesus. I just can't stop praising his name, I just can't stop praising his name, I just can't stop praising his name, Jesus. Tell me, every knee shall bow, every tongue confess, Jesus Christ is the Lord forever. Oh, every knee shall bow, every tongue confess, Jesus Christ is the Lord forever. And every knee shall bow, every tongue confess, that Jesus Christ is the Lord forever. Yes, every knee shall bow, every tongue confess, Jesus Christ is the Lord forever. Oh, every knee shall bow, every tongue confess, that Jesus, Christ is the Lord forever. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Mm-hmm. You deserve the glory and the honor. We lift our hands in worship and exalt your holy name. You deserve the glory and the honor. We lift our hands in worship and exalt your holy name. You deserve the glory and the honor. We lift our hands in worship and exalt your holy name. You deserve the glory and the honor. For we lift our hands in worship and exalt your holy name. For you are great, you do miracles so great. There is no one else like you. There is no one else like you, for you are great. You do miracles so great. There is no one else like you. There is no one else like you, for you are great. You do miracles so great. There is no one else like you. There is no one else like you. Oh, he deserves it. You deserve the glory and the honor. We lift our hands in worship and exalt your holy name. You deserve the glory and the honor. We lift our hands in worship and exalt your holy name. You deserve the glory and the honor. We lift our hands in worship and exalt your holy name. You deserve the glory and the honor. We lift our hands in worship and exalt your holy name. For you are great. You do miracles so great. There is no one else like you. There is no one else like you. For you are great. You do miracles so great. There is no one else like you. There is no one else like you. For you are great. You do miracles so great. There is no one else like you. There is no one else like you. For you are great. You do miracles so great. There is no one else like you. 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 Oh, we thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, we thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Mm. Mm. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, where it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I made, for it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, I'm coming back to the heart of worship, where it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I made it, where it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. When the music fades, it was on and a simple word. I give you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, even more than you will. You're looking into my heart. Yes, Lord, I'm coming back to the heart of worship, where it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I made, where it's all about you. Where it's all about you, Jesus. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, where it's all about you. Where it's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I made, where it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. It's all about you. It's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. It's all about you. It's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. It's all about you. It's all about you. Yes, Lord, it's all about you, Jesus. It's all about you. It's all about you. Yes, it's all about you, Jesus. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, where it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I made, where it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, where it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I made, where it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. And I'll never know how much it costs to see my sin upon that cross, I'll never know how much it cost to see my sin upon that cross. And I'll never know how much it cost to see my sin upon that cross. I'll never know how much it cost to see my sin upon that cross. And I'll never know how much it cost to see my sin upon that cross. And I'll never know how much it cost to see my sin upon that cross. Oh, I'm coming back to the heart of worship. It's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I made it. Well, it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, where it's all about you. Where it's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I made it, where it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. It is all about you. Love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for who you are. We'll never know, Lord God, what it costs to see our sin upon the cross. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for what you are to us, who you are to us. And I thank you, Lord God, for this show. Excuse me. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for this show tonight, for all of these listeners who are tuning in, regardless of where they're tuning in from, whatever city, whatever state, whatever country, whatever continent. We're just so grateful for all of these listeners who have tuned in tonight. And I just thank you, Lord God, that they are ready to receive whatever you have for them. Not what do I have to give them. Not the sound of my voice. But what do you have for them? And I just thank you, Lord God, that your hand is upon us tonight. That you will reveal things to us about you that we may not understand. Or we would have a greater understanding of you. Thank you that all of those who tuned in this broadcast, they will be changed through it tonight. That when they turn it off, when the show is over, these people will not be the same as when the show started. That they will be changed by you, Jesus. And Lord Jesus, I make my confession over this program tonight. I say that sponsors and partners come into this program. I say that finances come into this program. I pray, Lord God, that increases in listenership come to this program. And most importantly of all, Lord Jesus, I thank you for the huge amount of souls coming into the kingdom of God as a result of this great radio program. In Jesus' matchless name, amen. Amen. Want to make our Bible confession? Amen. The Bible says we can have the fruit of our lips Come on, let's say it like we mean it. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what the Word says I have. And I can do what the Word says I can do. This Bible is more than a religious book to me. It's more than a storybook to me. And it's more than a history book to me. Tonight, I am a believer, therefore I'm a receiver. And I do believe, and I do believe, and I do believe that I will receive absolutely everything that God has for me tonight in the name of Jesus. Wave that Bible if you have it. Make the devil mad a little bit. Amen. Turn with me, if you would, please, to the book of 1 Samuel chapter 8. Amen. 1 Samuel chapter 8. And I want to encourage you to please follow along. Whatever I do here, where I'm at, you do. Be a part. Don't just sit there and be a spectator. Be a participator. This is not the football game where you folks just sit there and cheer. No, be a part. If I clap, you clap. I study the Bible, you study along. Somehow I sing again because maybe that's what God wants me to do. And you know the lyrics, then sing. Just whatever I do here, you do there, wherever you are. Because I believe that's how you're going to get the most out of this, is by being a participator. Amen. And I'm going to begin reading in verse 1. When Samuel grew old, he appointed his sons as judges for Israel. The name of his firstborn was Joel. The name of his secondborn was Abijah. And they served at Beersheba. But his sons did not walk in his ways. They turned aside after dishonest gain, and they accepted bribes. And they perverted justice. So all the elders of Israel gathered together and came to Samuel at Ramah. And they said to him, "You are old, and your sons do not walk in your ways. Now appoint a king to lead us, like all the other nations have." But when they said, "Give us a king to lead over us," this displeased Samuel. So he prayed to the Lord. The Lord told him, "Listen to all that the people are saying to you. It is not you that they have rejected, but instead they have rejected me as their king, as they have done from the day that I brought them up out of Egypt until this day, forsaking me and serving other gods. So they are, as they brought them up from Egypt until this day, they are forsaking me and serving other gods, so they are doing the same to you. Now listen to them, but warn them solemnly, and let them know what the king who will reign over them will do." And Samuel told all these words to the Lord of the people who were asking him for a king. And he said, "This is what the king who will return, who will reign over you, will do. He will take your sons and will make them serve with his chariots and horses. And they will run in front of his chariots. Some he will assign to be commanders of thousands and commanders of fifties, and others to plow his ground and to reap his harvest, and still others to make weapons of war and equipment for his chariots. He will take your daughters to be perfumers and cooks and bakers. He will take the best of your fields and vineyards and olive groves and will give them to his attendants. He will take a tenth of your grain and of your vintage and will give it to his officials and attendants, your men servants and maid servants, and the best of your cattle and donkeys he will take for his own use. He will take a tenth of your flocks, and you yourselves will become his slaves. And when that day comes, you will cry out for relief from the king that you have chosen. And the Lord will not answer you in that day. But the people refused to listen to Samuel. No, they said, we want a king over us. Then we will be like all the other nations, with a king to lead us and to go before us and to fight our battles. When Samuel heard all that the people said, he repeated it before the Lord. The Lord answered, listen to them and give them a king. Then Samuel said to the men of Israel, everyone go back to his town. Chapter 9. There was a Benjamite, a man of standing, whose name was Kish, the son of Abiel, the son of Zero, the son of Benjamin. He had a son named Saul, who was an impressive young man, without equal among the Israelites. He was a head taller than any of the others. Now the donkeys belonging to Saul's father Kish were lost. And Kish said to his son Saul, take one of the servants with you and go and look for my donkeys. So he passed through the hill country of Ephraim and through the area around Shalisha. But they did not find them there. They went on into the district of Shalim. The donkeys were not there. Then he passed through the territory of Benjamin. They didn't find the donkeys there. When they reached the district of Zuf, Saul said to the servant who was with him, come, or my father will stop thinking about the donkeys and will start thinking about us instead. But the servant replied, look, in this town there is a man of God. He is highly respected, and everything he says comes true. Let's go there now. Perhaps he will tell us what way to take. And Saul said to his servant, if we go, what can we give the man? The food in our sacks is gone. We have no gift to take to the man of God. What do we have? And the servant answered him again. Look, he said, I have a quarter of a shekel of silver. I will give it to the man of God so that he will tell us what way to take. Formerly in Israel, if a man went to inquire of God, he would say, come, let us go to the seer, because the prophet of today used to be called a seer. Go. Good. Saul said to his servant, come, let's go. So they went out of the town. So they set out for the town where the man of God was. As they were going up the hill to the town, they met some girls coming out to draw water. And they asked them, is the seer here? He is, they answered. He's ahead of you. Hurry now. He has just come to our town today. For the people have a sacrifice at the high place. As soon as you enter the town, you will find him before he goes up to the high place to eat. The people will not begin eating until he comes, because he must bless the sacrifice. Afterward, those who are invited will eat. Go up now. You should find him about this time. They went up to the town, and as they were entering it, there was Samuel coming toward them on his way up to the high place. Now the day before Saul came, the Lord had revealed this to Samuel. About this time tomorrow, I will send you a man from the land of Benjamin. Anoint him leader over my people, Israel. He will deliver my people from the hand of the Philistines. I have looked upon my people, and their cry has reached me. When Samuel caught sight of Saul, the Lord said to him, this is the man that I spoke to you about. He will govern my people. Saul approached Samuel in the gateway and asked, would you please tell me where the seer's house is? I am the seer, Samuel replied. Go up ahead of me to the high place. For today you are to eat with me. And in the morning, I will let you go, and I will tell you all that is in your heart. As for the donkeys that you lost 3 days ago, do not worry about them. They have been found. And to whom is all the desire of Israel turned, if not to you and all your father's family? Saul answered, but am I not a Benjamite from the smallest tribe of Israel? And is not my clan the least of all the clans of the tribe of Benjamin? Why do you say such a thing to me? Then Samuel brought Saul and his servant into the hall and seated them at the head of those who were invited, about 30 in number. Samuel said to the cook, bring the piece of meat that I gave you, the one that I told you to lay aside. So the cook took up the leg of what was on it and set it in front of Saul. Samuel said, here is what has been kept for you. Eat. Because it was set aside for you. and for this occasion. From the time I said, I have invited Gus, and Saul dined with Samuel that day. After they came down from the high place to the town, Samuel talked with Saul on the roof of his house. They rose about daybreak, and Samuel called to Saul on the roof, "Get ready, and I will send you on your way." When Saul got ready, he and Samuel went outside together. Going down to the edge of the town, Samuel said to Saul, "Tell the servant to go on ahead of us." And the servant did so. "But you stay here a while, so that I may give you a message from God." The Israelites for a while, they began saying, you know, we don't like the status quo. We want to have a king like all these other countries have. We want a king who will go before us, a king who will help us fight our battles. And then Samuel talked to God about it. He informed Samuel of what all the people had done and about how they had truly rejected God ever since they were brought up out of Egypt. And they had been asking Saul, and then they said, because of this, here's all what's going to happen. And they're going to be basically taxed a tenth of everything they have, and they'll end up as slaves. And then the people rejected it. They said, "No, Samuel, no. We want a king." Then God told Samuel, "Listen to him. Give him." And then Saul loses the donkeys. Excuse me. Kish, Saul's father, notices that the donkeys are gone, lost. And of course, Kish says, Saul, I want you to do me a favor. Send a servant. I want you and one of my servants to go look for those donkeys. Come back when you find them." First, Saul tries, and then the servant says, you know, they go to the different places to look. Various different places to go look, Shalim and a couple other places. They don't find him. They don't find the donkeys. So they said, there's a certain town coming up. In this certain town coming up will be a man of God. Let's talk to him and see if he can help us find the donkeys. And Saul basically says, you know, for one thing, I have nothing to give. Secondly, he tells him, secondly, I don't have, if we do that, eventually my father will stop worrying about the donkeys and will start worrying about us. And so The servant basically says, you know, Saul, some silver to give him. And so they go up to the town where Samuel lives, and they're told that they'll be eating with him. And Saul was the man that God had said would be the leader of the Israelites, and that the hand of God was upon Saul. And so we did not go into chapter 10 tonight, but we'll see on Wednesday night when we come back. We'll be in chapter 10 about it, and I'll be talking about that. But we'll be doing our show tomorrow night, but for right now, on Tuesday nights, we're doing what I'm calling Miracle Tuesday nights, where we're going through different miracles that Jesus did in people's bodies, like the different ailments that he healed them with. This even includes evil spirits that he cast out of people. And we're going through all of those on Tuesday nights for the time being. But on Wednesday night, when we come back, we'll be getting into what will happen with Saul. And all that. Kind of stuff. So the Israelites kept getting themselves into trouble ever since they had left Egypt. And because of some stuff they had done earlier in the Bible, they had to keep wandering in the desert for 40 years. 40 years! Not 40 minutes, not 40 days, 40 years. Because of what they had done that they were not supposed to be doing. And sorry, I'm just checking my clock. Sorry about that. But because of what they had done, they had to keep wandering in the desert for 40 years. 40 years. And so at one point, it had even gotten to where the Israelites actually missed Egypt because they were thinking about all the different foods they missed and everything else, the onions, this, and that, and the garlic. Let me tell you what it was not, though. It was not the garlic burger from Steak and Shake. You know, the garlic double with cheese and the wonderful garlic butter that's on the bun and put on there so nicely. And, of course, like I said, with some cheese, if you please. But the people of Israel, the Israelites, while they would from time to time get back to God, they weren't the most grateful bunch of people. And this is another case, the case with the whole king thing, in which the people of Israel weren't grateful. And by the way, his sons did not follow in the ways of God. His sons decided to go their own way, a way that was absent the Lord. And God was not pleased with them. They didn't really like it that they were appointed judges by Samuel, because Samuel was getting old. And by old, I don't mean 25, 35. You know, I had somebody say, I'm an old lady. This person's only 20-some years old. She teased and said, you know, I'm old. And I've never said that I was old. And so Christians, we need to be grateful people, not a people who are just so always like demanding this and that, this and that, and always complaining and always deciding that since they can't get what they want from God, that they'll give themselves to other gods. It's almost like a lot of them chose to forget what God did for them. Like they forgot that God had parted the sea for them, that he tore apart the sea and made that water stand up. And then the water sank the Egyptians. It was like the Israelites forgot that. But not me. I don't forget Jesus. I don't forget my God. I'm so thankful and grateful to him. And Samuel, he was a prophet of God. At the time, the seer was what they called the prophet. Now, Heavenly Father, I thank you for the word of God tonight, that we would always be a grateful people, that we would be grateful in our own lives for what we get from the Lord, that we would be grateful towards other people. I'm thankful to the Lord that we would not take for granted what all you've done for us. And even as we curse, Lord, that we would not take what you've done, we would not take your benefits for granted, that we would appreciate them. In the mighty name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord God, for that. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, in terms of sports, the Tigers, what do you know? Another weekend and a couple more losses, this time to the Yankees, including a 2-0 loss to the Yankees yesterday, in which they only gave up 2 runs, but they couldn't score any. And I was somewhere just today. Someone said, and I hate losing. And I basically said, well, if you hate losing, go. If you really hate, despise losing so much, why not go give the Tigers a boost? They could use you. She got a kick out of it because right now they're on pace to lose 120 games. Their pitching is doing all right, but their bats are asleep. Very much asleep. As for the Lions in the NFL draft, first of all, the draft in general, for the first time ever, all of the first three players that were drafted in the first round, all of the first three players were quarterbacks. That was for the first time ever in the history of the NFL draft. It is also the first time that three quarterbacks were drafted in the first round at all, let alone 1, 2, and 3 in order. As for the Lions, in the first three rounds of the draft, they got an offensive lineman, an offensive tackle, and a defensive tackle. All three positions that we needed, but I wish we could have gotten something a little more substantial. All right. And we'll see what that translates to for the Lions in the fall. Hopefully with the new quarterback, that can get us some more wins. All right. Until next time, God first, God always. So long, everybody.